At the time of this recording, it's just been a few hours after the Super Bowl, so we're actually going to start off by talking about the Super Bowl right now. But first, hi, I'm Joel Garcia. Welcome to the Pop Culture Shuffle. On today's show, I have a few things to talk about. First up, the Super Bowl, all the highs, lows, and of course, Taylor Swift. Then, I introduce a brand new segment to the podcast. And finally, a brief announcement about the future of the Pop Culture Shuffle. But first, are you ready for some football? So, Super Bowl 58. It was crazy, but in a good way. The best thing I can say about the game was, I was so glad it was a close game. It's just been a problem these past few weeks with the postseason where it felt like most games were blowouts, and I was just getting really tired of that. Thankfully, this was not a blowout. Now, the first half of the game really worried me a bit because it reminded me of Super Bowl 52 when the Rams took on the Patriots, and that game tended to be really boring because it was nothing but defense. So looking at the first half, I was just worried, oh no, this is gonna be one of those games again. I should note, there's nothing wrong with defense, but you can have a good defense, but you also need a good offense. And I was really worried because for once I was rooting for the Chiefs after all these years. And it's weird because I'm a Chargers fan, but I was only rooting for the Chiefs because of Taylor Swift. Which is something you probably heard over and over again in which, oh, you're not rooting for the Chiefs, you're rooting for Taylor Swift's boyfriend. Speaking of, I do appreciate that CBS kind of held back on Taylor Swift camera shots. For the most part, you didn't see her at first. She only showed up like once or twice during the national anthem and then maybe like the second quarter. And then it wasn't until like the fourth quarter and overtime where it just kept cutting back. So at least they held back until then. Still, it was just fun seeing Taylor, Ice Spice, Lana Del Rey, and Blake Lively just freaking out and reacting to the game. It's something I would have never expected to see at the Super Bowl. As for the second half of the game, it was much better. It felt close, it felt competitive, and sure, there was a relative lack of touchdowns in general, but at least there were touchdowns. And I'm just surprised that the game went to overtime. Though I will give it this, this was much better than the last time they went to overtime. Nothing against the infamous Falcons-Patriots overtime Super Bowl game, but that barely felt like overtime, like it was over in like a snap. This game, on the other hand, went literally down to the wire. You had the 49ers just eat up the clock, where it didn't feel like they were trying to accomplish anything, and at one point I was just thinking, are you gonna score? And they did, 3 points. But because of the new overtime rules, in which both teams have a chance to possess the ball, the Chiefs had a chance to score, and they got a touchdown to win the whole thing. This game was the debut of the NFL's new overtime rules for the postseason. I think it went really well. It felt reminiscent of college football, though with that said, if you're just going to give both teams a chance to possess the ball, why is there a clock? In college football, when they go to overtime, there's no clock. They just get the possessions, and after 2 possessions, they go to double overtime, etc., etc. Despite the fact that it was a much closer matchup compared to what happened 4 years ago, it still ended the exact same way as it did 4 years ago. If anything, the only difference between the Super Bowl from 4 years ago and this year was just that it took them a little bit longer to come back. When it comes to the other things happening around the game, the halftime show with Usher was fantastic. Now most of it just comes down to the fact that a lot of the songs he played were my favorites growing up. like Burn, Confessions, Yeah, Alicia Keys' duet with him, and obviously, OMG by will.i.am, which I did not expect. I thought that one wouldn't make the cut, because it's mostly a will.i.am song, but it made the cut. As for CBS's coverage of the game, I liked it, though I really did not like their new graphics. It's become a thing, if you haven't noticed, for each Super Bowl broadcaster to immediately premiere their brand new NFL graphics during the game. Sometimes it works out well, such as when NBC did it, and sometimes with the Fox Network, but this new set of graphics from CBS just looked terrible. If you haven't seen an image of them, just look at any highlight from the Super Bowl and you'll see what I mean. It looked blocky, it looked too generic, and it reminded me a lot of the lower quality graphics you see with, say, a college basketball game being broadcast on ESPN Plus. Except not being produced by ESPN, but simply distributed by ESPN. Otherwise, the rest of the broadcast was pretty good. And I also especially liked the Nickelodeon broadcast. I only watched bits and pieces of it, but it was fun, it was exciting, and never in my life would I have expected to see SpongeBob and Patrick announce the Super Bowl. Otherwise, the commercials were a mixed bag. Now, some commercials were pretty good, but then there were others that were pretty bad. I feel like I could be here all day talking about bad commercials, but I will say the one I really did not like the most was the Temu commercials. I don't trust Temu. I went once to their website and they just kept bringing me these pop-ups for discounts and it just felt really much like a scam. So I don't know how they were able to get multiple airings of the same commercial during the game. And it wasn't like, say, a generic ad. No, it was this one specific commercial that aired several times throughout the game. It also wasn't even a very good commercial, since otherwise it was just saying, everything we sell is super cheap. Which, okay, and? As for my favorite ads, well, I think the best ones were the State Farm and Pringles ads. The State Farm one, of course, is the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger, where of course the problem is he can't pronounce the word neighbor in the catchphrase, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And it was just really fun seeing how everyone's trying to tell him to pronounce it, and in the end, they just get Danny DeVito. As for the other ones I liked, the Pringles ad was finally good. The past few years, Pringles has been doing ads for the Super Bowl, and I'll just say this, I hated them. The Pringles ad from 2 years ago was like barely funny, in which it was about a guy who got his hand stuck in a can and then he had to live the rest of his life with a can in his hand. That was fine. And then last year's ad was just like, people are doing stuff with Pringle cans in their hand. And like, okay, you did this joke already, why are you doing it again? This year, of course, was different because it was about, how Chris Pratt has a mustache that looks like the Pringles guy. And you know what? That was actually funny. Also, the Doritos Dinamita ad, which I found really interesting because I didn't even know that Doritos Dinamitas were back. Like, I remember a decade ago, while I was at San Diego State, they used to sell Doritos Dinamita, and now they're back, I guess. So, it's really surprising. The ad itself was pretty funny, just seeing these two old ladies fight a guy for the chips. That's probably the best way to get your point across. Just like, these chips are so good, people will come and kick your ass for them. With the Chiefs winning their third Super Bowl in 5 years, what's next? We'll have to wait and see what happens next in the NFL draft. And maybe we'll see if, say, anyone from the University of Michigan goes to play in the NFL. Or if someone picks up Michael Penix. But for now, we close the book on the NFL and put it away until at least April or August if you don't care about the draft. Now we move on to NASCAR. And if I feel like it, we'll probably talk about the Daytona 500. Well, barring any weather delays, of course. Once again, congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs for winning the Super Bowl yet again. Go Chargers! Within the past year or so, I've begun writing out my topics in order to keep up a weekly schedule. The only exceptions have been when my fanfic readings, which always tend to be very loose, as well as the occasional film review. Sometimes, while looking for things to discuss on this podcast, some start off with a lot of potential, only to then peter out when I find barely anything to discuss about them. It happens on an intermittent basis. At first, I think I can come up with at least 5 minutes worth of content, only to then realize I barely have enough for the equivalent of a YouTube short or TikTok. I do my best to not waste what I wrote and post it somewhere, mostly Twitter. However, there are certain topics that go nowhere, either due to a lack of interest or timeliness. I previously dealt with the former when I tried to highlight the Mexican telenovela Rebelde, where I watched a few episodes, recorded something, but then could not come up with enough stuff for a complete segment. In the latter's case, some topics just have an expiration date. It's one thing to highlight an animated film long after it came out, such as Ruby Gilman or Wish, but it would be weirder to talk about something that may become irrelevant at a later point in time. Which leads me to talk about scraps. For example, who would want to hear about the end of The Late Late Show with James Corden nearly a year after it ended? There are hundreds of YouTubers who talk about the so-called deaths of late night, but it might be too recent to highlight, especially because Corden just came back with a new podcast on Sirius XM. I really wanted to do a segment about The Late Late Show right before Corden wrapped up his final show. It would have briefly highlighted Tom Snyder and Craig Kilborn's hosting stints, Craig Ferguson's long run, which people tend to really acknowledge these days, no random guest hosts, and ultimately, Corden. I spent several weeks binge-watching every single sketch from Corden's run, such as Carpool Karaoke, but most especially Celebrity Noses. Long story short, it is a pretty funny sketch where the punchline is the lack of resolution. Unfortunately, I ran out of time and his final episode came and went. I did have some leeway to keep writing the segment due to CBS airing reruns of Corden up until September. I decided it was just not worth it, especially since I didn't think anyone would have still been watching late night reruns due to the then ongoing dual strikes. And the only reason they were still airing James Corden up until September was because the show that was supposed to replace it couldn't be worked on because of the strikes. Which is why you saw this bizarre moment between September to January, where rather than air reruns or something else, they just aired reruns of some old show called Comics Unleashed. Looking back at what I wrote, it was pretty much as long as what I just talked about. Had I done the segment now, it might have ended with an addendum about CBS retiring the Late Late Show branding and instead using the time slot to revive Comedy Central's At Midnight, now rebranded After Midnight because obviously the show airs at 12:35. I've seen a few episodes, and it's okay. Another topic I wanted to highlight would have been reminiscent of my discussions of both the CW and My Network TV. However, it would have been on a broader scale, and actually predated both topics. I got very interested in the ongoing collapse of Bally Sports when the group declared bankruptcy back in March of last year. For those unaware, Bally Sports is a group of regional sports networks which broadcasts local games from a wide range of MLB, NBA, and NHL teams. Basically, any game not shown on national TV. Their origins as individual Necrs go back as far as the late 70s, but the important part to bring up is that at one point, they were a regional cable extension of Fox Sports. When Disney acquired 20th Century Fox, the sale included those channels, which they immediately sold off. The networks were acquired by Sinclair Broadcast Group and Byron Allen, yes, that Byron Allen, who formed a standalone company that maintains their networks, now rebranded as Bally Sports. The regional networks have been in a freefall due to the rise of cord cutting. Nowadays, most people no longer subscribe to cable or satellite, which is a big problem for Bally Sports. Their entire business relies on said subscriptions, and while they recently delved into offering a standalone streaming option, the former still makes up most of their revenue. Said revenue being the unavoidable local sports fee tagged on cable and satellite bills. Basically, if you live in a region with at least one nearby team, you will be forced to pay for those channels, whether or not you like sports, and there's no way to opt out of it. You might have also heard how their bankruptcy has impacted several teams, most notably my San Diego Padres and the Arizona Diamondbacks. In the case of both teams, they stopped getting payments from Bally, and their rights wound up reverting back to Major League Baseball, with their games being made available on an eclectic range of local cable channels, as well as streaming in their respective markets. I chose not to go further into this topic because it lacks resolution. As of this recording, there are several ongoing court cases, the MLB wanting to reclaim the rest of their team's regional rights, and Amazon acquiring a stake in the networks. Even if I were to begin highlighting this whole ordeal, it would have been difficult to pick an endpoint, as I might have kept going and going and going like the Energizer Bunny. I basically had the opposite problem as my Corden segment, where I knew where to stop but not start. I do know where to end this particular segment. Right here. This might become a recurring thing, one in which I simply talk about things that I don't have much to say about. I'm already looking forward at the next time I do this particular segment. Let's just say it will involve a lot of sitcoms. Finally, a brief announcement about the podcast. The program I use to upload the Pop Culture Shuffle to most stream providers has been an app that for a while was known as Anchor. It was a piece of software that I began using back in 2019 during my radio class at San Diego City College. It's been a very useful application since that time. First, to do some homework assignments for that class, and when the pandemic began, it easily allowed me to transition my radio show into podcast. At the time, I was disappointed that I couldn't do the exact same thing as I did on my radio shows, which was talk, play music, and then talk. The closest being me just putting up public domain songs or anything like that in between segments. And then, sometime later, Anchor announced this new feature called Music Talk. This amazing feature which allowed me to do something reminiscent of that. It was mostly used by music shows that tend to talk about a certain song, in which, oh, we have a show about the Beatles, let's talk about this particular Beatles song, play it, and then we'll talk about it. In my case, I tended to do something different with the Music Talk format. And for those of you on Spotify, you might have noticed that each week I technically upload two episodes, but both essentially have the same content. The only major difference between, say, an episode that runs for 30 minutes versus one that goes on for like twice as long is just that there are songs in between each segment. For the most part, it's just been something that is related to the topic, such as, say, a fanfic reading of Cats in the Cradle, followed by the song Cats in the Cradle. Unfortunately, in the past few years, a lot has changed. Anchor was bought by Spotify, and they rebranded the service into Spotify for Podcasters. At first, not much changed, just the rebranding, and the option to simply upload the entire episode without having to digitally edit it on their website, which is something I really enjoyed, and helped me out when I was trying to add the songs. Sadly, that is going away. Among the many changes Spotify is making to the service, they are dropping not only the online editing option, but also Music Talk. I bring that up because if you follow my podcast on Spotify, you might have noticed that each week there are two episodes with very similar titles. Both are essentially the same show, with the only difference being the title and the addition of songs. And for the most part, I've tended to have the one with songs as the actual episode, while an additional episode labeled as bonus would be uploaded on Spotify for users who don't want to listen to the 30-second samples, or Apple Podcasts and other streaming services where the podcast can be heard. If you're wondering, this does not change anything about my podcast. If anything, it's just a bit of a regression. So at some point later this year, if you're listening on Spotify, the special edition as I've labeled it will no longer be available. At the moment, I have no idea what will happen to the episodes I've already uploaded, if they will still be available after Music Talk is disabled, or if I need to do something else with my show. In the meantime, I'll keep putting up these episodes on Spotify for as long as I can, and then we'll eventually transition back to, well, a regular podcast with no music. I assume there is a legitimately good reason as to why this is happening. Why Spotify is dropping this feature. Maybe it's like how over on TikTok, if you've noticed, a lot of videos have been muted. So if you're watching this funny TikTok video and they're doing a funny dance, but there's no music, that's why. Because a label that operates a lot of artists, Universal Music Group, pulled their songs from TikTok. I just want to point this out one more time for anyone who's confused by that. The podcast itself is not going anywhere. The special edition of the podcast I tend to upload on Spotify with music will be going away at a foreseeable date. At some point in time, I will also not be able to edit the podcast on the Spotify for Podcasters website, which I'm also prepared to do since I have a lot of experience editing a podcast with other software. And if anything, it just makes it easier to me to just simply have one file for every podcast rather than five individual pieces. So yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say about this topic, and hopefully in the foreseeable future, once that change happens, I'll be ready for it. And on that note, that is all the time we have for today's show. If you would like to know when the next episode comes out, remember to follow or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite stream provider. You can also follow me on Instagram, Threads, and Twitter/X at MrJoelGarcia9, as well as at MrJoelGarcia on TikTok. Until next time, thank you for listening.